This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, yesterday, the whole country really was engaged with what was happening in Leinster House, where Ryan Tuberty and his agent, Noel Kelly, appeared first before the Public Accounts Committee in the morning for 3 hours and then for 3.5 hours before the Media Committee in the afternoon. It was riveting viewing in many ways, but riveting though it was, what has been happening in RTE and the story that is now in its third week is of great importance to the people of this country, because we do need a national broadcaster that functions properly. And what we have seen in the last 3 weeks would give you no confidence to believe that is happening. It's a pleasure now to welcome to The Stand Fionnán Sheehan. Fionnán is one of the best journalists in Ireland by a long mile, and he broke the original story. Fionnán, we're very grateful for joining us on The Stand. You broke this story, I think it's on the 22nd or 22nd.
Yeah. Barred the Ryan Tuberty section of it. So, yeah. I mean, Ryan Tuberty and Noel Kelly were saying yesterday, this is not the Ryan Tuberty payment scandal, it's the RTE payment scandal. So, yeah, yes. I'm excited kind of for that. But what we'd heard that week was that a major financial scandal and corporate governance issue had arisen in RTE on foot of payments made during the COVID-19 period from 2020 to 2022, and that there had been investigations conducted by an accountancy firm and a legal firm, that this had gone to the RTE board and so on and so forth. And we were trying to pin that together all that week. RTE were not responding to queries. We were then told a response would come. So ultimately, my colleague Melanie Finn ambushed the media minister, Catherine Martin, and asked her what exactly was happening here. And that was the first time we had confirmation. And that went out that morning of the 22nd, that there was a major financial issue in RTE. And then that afternoon, RTE issued their statement. And the ripple effects having gone since. And we're now back at a point again in the story where we are back to that original statement now at this stage.
Yes. And as you've pointed out, Noel Kelly went to great lengths yesterday to pin the blame on RTE. He said it's an RTE scandal, it's not a Ryan Tuberty scandal. But leaving that aside, the first thing that happened yesterday was documents that were promised to the two committees, the Public Accounts Committee and the Media Committee, to be there on Monday, never arrived on Monday, and they were dumped at 8:30 yesterday morning. That in itself was extremely unhelpful, was it not, to those two committees, because particularly the Public Accounts Committee, which was meeting in the morning.
Yeah, and certainly there was a lot of management going on around Ryan Tubridy and Noel Kelly's appearance. And look, to be fair to them, they were appearing before two Oireachtas committees. They did their homework, they did their research, and they did their preparation in advance. That was very much in contrast to the appearance by the RTE management over the previous 2 weeks, which was very haphazard. So they had certain tactics that the pair of them employed. You could speculate that the late dropping of that, those statements and those documents was part of that. Ultimately, if you put out documentation the night before, it then gets leaked.
Yes.
What's in those documents then becomes the narrative, and then you're on the back foot and so on and so forth, answering to things in there. So what you saw that, for example, the week earlier when RTE really fumbled around with this thing of, was there one barter account or three barter accounts? They sparked a panic. Ultimately, you know, there wasn't really three barter accounts. There was three accounts feeding into one barter account.
Yes.
So you saw with RTE how that can be badly managed. So I think, you know, fair play to Tubridy and Kelly for whatever their reason was, they managed that well. And Ryan Tubridy's statement.
Yes, his opening statement.
Yeah, became the strongest part of the narrative early in the day, I suppose.
Yes. And then Tubridy more or less took a back seat, and Kelly was the person who was answering the questions. And
well, Tubridy was, it was quite strong. And what I noticed from it was the tone of the printed statement that he issued to the committee at 8:30, very flat, very aggressive. The delivery that he then produced at 10, 11 o'clock, was very emotional.
Yes.
You could see him welling up at points. He was getting angry. He was thumping the table. He was waving fingers around, and he was repeating phrases in a very dramatic fashion. He also went off script a bit. He did insert additional phrases and sentences into that, particularly around an apology, an acknowledgement of the upset that had been caused to the wider public, and an acknowledgement of the efforts of RTE staff who worked very hard, and how they had been impacted by this. So he didn't have that in the original printed document. He did, by the time he delivered it, he had added in those phrases. So that was kind of important that he had an apology in there. The significant thing from all that is that he said there are seven untruths, and here are the untruths. Going through to the untruths last night, I'd say two of them, maybe you'd give to him. The other five are a mixture of, well, they're not quite untrue, and there's others that don't apply.
Yeah, the biggest one, Finan, being that he took a 20% cut.
Yeah, just the 20% pay cut. The claim that I did not take a pay cut from RT in 2020. And this goes to the
That's
heart.
Not true.
It goes to the heart of what Ryan Tubridy's argument was and his presentation to the committee is. And ultimately, that's his story and he's sticking to it.
He and Noel Kelly persisted all day for 6 hours in saying, this is what RTE demanded from us, and we were merely complying.
And we delivered it. Again, going back to the approach and the tactics that they employed going into that committee, as the day went on and the same stock answers and phrases were repeated, you started to identify a pattern that, aha, these guys have got a set of answers that they're going to keep on delivering no matter what way or how many times they're asked the question. And among those was that Ryan Tubridy did take a cut of 20%, and that the narrative then continues into that the side deal, which was worth $75,000 a year, was an entirely separate process that was going on a different level entirely and had nothing to do with the contract talks. That wasn't accepted by the committee. Alan Kelly put it very succinctly that people were not accepting that these were entirely separate. Among the other stock answers that they have was that Noel Kelly saying he was just following RTE's instructions around invoicing. Noel Kelly kept saying, I'm just a small firm and we only have 8 people, and RTE are a 350 million giant and they have their own legal department and so on and so forth. trying to call it the RTE payment scandal and the Ryan Tuberty payment scandal. And then this thing from Tuberty that he trusted Noel Kelly and Noel Kelly trusted the process with RTE. And ultimately it was again pointing the finger back at RTE and not really taking any responsibility themselves.
Yes. And the key area that where responsibility was and is required, you could sum it up with Kieran Cannon TD, who was the last surviving PD, if I remember.
Yes, that's right.
And voted leader of the PD. Elected yeah. himself to be leader.
Yeah.
But he's a TD for Galway now, and he came at the end or near mm-hmm. the end yeah. of the questioning by TDs. And he made the statement that at the heart of this were the invoices for payments 2 and 3.
Yes.
In the 75,000. And payments 2 and 3 were invoiced to mm-hmm. a different company.
Yes.
From a different company, mm-hmm. a different O'Kelly company, and there was no name to be put on the invoices. Now, Cannon and another very, very good TD, Alan Dillon, Fine Gael TD for Mayo, they also made the point that this was deception. These yeah. are false invoices for services that were never rendered. And that is undoubtedly a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in their opinion, as TDs underprivileged inside an Oireachtas committee, they basically said that these payments were set up to deceive, and that basically this funding from the side deal with Renault was a substitute for the pay cut that Ryan Tuberty was taking in his main contract, and that the argument that was being put forward that this was an entirely separate process did not stack up. And nor did Noel Kelly's explanation that he just followed RTE's instructions and that he had no idea whatsoever that this funding was coming from RTE. So in effect, you saw across the day that basically any of the kind of the arguments on the facts and figures side that Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty were putting forward were being roundly rejected by the committee. And I suppose Ryan Tuberty was going in there to also play to a different audience, which was yes. the listener and the viewer at home. And he was aiming to win over hearts and minds there. You know, he probably did. I mean, he expressed how hurtful and upset he was about all this entire issue. He did appear to be contrite. He did talk about his work for charity and with children. He particularly wanted to rule out any prospect that his departure from the Late Show was linked to the payment scandal about to be revealed. He said no, he'd made up his mind on that a year earlier, and it went from there.
Yes, and he did, as you said, the Late Late Toy Show particularly has raised millions, 6 million in 1 year for children's charities. He did then make a speech really about how he loved the children of Ireland. He wanted the children of Ireland to be happy. He wanted them to read books. And this was something that was a priority in his life and part of his work, which some people regarded as a little bit over the top.
It was very hammy.
It was, yeah, and contrived.
And, you know, there was other kind of phrases like Noel Kelly turned around and saying that Ryan Tuberty was the most trusted man in Ireland and now he'd been taken down. And you're kind of going, really? It was the references to children and the decent people of Ireland were on Ryan Tuberty's yes. side. Then there was a great line towards the end where he's talking to Marie Sherlock of Labour, and he says, yes, the salary is enormous, but that doesn't affect my soul.
My soul, yeah.
So you're just kind of listening to this stuff going, ah, Jesus, give us a break.
Look, yeah.
he was a pitching above
that's
and
his
beyond.
Stick, isn't it? The that's what he does.
Beyond them. Yeah, that's what he does. This he was going back to the Ryan Tuberty who used to deliver a kind of a sermon to the nation every Friday night during COVID-19 about we're all in yep. this together. And ultimately people were coming back at him yesterday and saying, yeah, you, that was your message then. But we now know that at the same time, yes. you were engaging in side deals that were propping up your salary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments.
Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Now, in relation to those side deals, Breda O'Keefe was the chief financial officer of RTE, who is now retired. She did, however, come and give evidence last week. It was very impressive in its clarity and its conviction. It emerged subsequently that Breda O'Keefe had given a separate letter of comfort to Noel Kelly, saying that $75,000 would be paid regardless. In other words, underwriting the $75,000 for 5 years, even if Renault didn't want to pay it or there was a new sponsor. Now, Breda O'Keefe won't attend tomorrow when the executive are back in, but that was, should we say, misleading.
Yeah, I mean, there's an email from Breda O'Keefe on the 20th of February 2020 to Noel Kelly. It's copied to other people as well. And she is basically saying that RTE will provide a guarantee that the payment will be made even if the sponsor pulls out. This is at odds with what she told the Aratus Media Committee a week ago, where she basically said that by the time she had left the organisation, that there was no such guarantee. And that she was opposed to it, and that there was pushback, and it only happened subsequently. Now, you know, RTE issued a rather hasty statement yesterday, where they were countering that this email does not prove that there was any guarantee being put on the table at that point. So they're effectively backing up the version of events delivered by a former CFO who left the organisation 3 years ago. So look, that will be teased out at the Dáil Public Accounts Committee tomorrow, and ultimately RTE will have to answer that. But the email looks to be fairly straightforward. I mean, an email is not a legally binding contract, but there's quite clearly an indication there from the then CFO that RTE were willing to offer such a guarantee in an earlier stage in the contract negotiations than was previously outlined.
Now, the whole of the two sessions really hung on this idea of consultancy and the stonewalling, I would call it, of Noel Kelly when it was repeatedly put to him that he was an experienced businessman, that he had issued thousands of invoices, and how often had he been asked to invoice for an invoice with no name for the recipient to a company, Aarhus, in Britain that he never knew. And he persisted with the contention that he was doing only what RTE asked him to do. And that really bogged the whole day down, didn't it? With both committees, Public Accounts Committee and with the Media Committee, he would not concede on that. And that raises a question. Is that a plausible? Well, I mean, that was the suggestion, is that this isn't plausible for a man, a businessman of your experience.
Yeah, and it's what the Social Democrats TD Catherine Murphy called the Nuremberg defense, that you were only following orders. And in this case, he says it was RTE's instructions to him. So look, what was implausible about this is that Noel Kelly and Ryan Tuberty are basically saying, look, we didn't know that this money was coming from RTE. We signed up to a contract, we issued invoices, and the money was paid to us, and we sent the invoice to whoever we were told to. In this case, we quite clearly see a line of difference. In year one, Noel Kelly, from his own company, invoices Renault, who were the sponsor at the time. Renault paid the money back to Noel Kelly / Ryan Tuberty of 75,000. But in the background, Renault get a credit note, effectively a payback from RTE to that sum. So it's basically cost neutral. It wasn't going to cost Renault any more money. Then we see in year two and three, which when we now know that Renault had pulled out of the deal at this point, the underwriting of the guarantee of payment kicked in, that basically RTE told Mr. Kelly to now send an invoice with consultancy services on it, with no name on it, to a UK company which operated a barter account for RTE. Mr. Kelly is saying, look, I just did what I was told. I sent on the invoice. He sent it on from his related second company, CMS Marketing. He says there's nothing untoward that. What was being highlighted yesterday was, look, there's a clear difference between how you dealt with year one and how you dealt with year two and three. And you're telling us that you didn't think there was anything untoward going on here whatsoever. His argument is, RTE, you're a 350 million organization with a large legal department. They told me what to do when I did it.
Now, there's a much bigger issue here. And your newspaper, the Irish Independent, leads this morning with a hint, or more than a hint, that Kevin Backhurst, the new Director General, may be open to the idea of selling the campus at Montrose and moving RTE. The bigger thing, of course, being our need as a society to have a public service broadcaster. And that is something that has been threatened, I would suggest, Fionnán. And really, leaving Tuberty and Kelly aside, the question... They're back in tomorrow, the RTE executive. One executive board has been sacked and is an interim leadership team now. However, we do need a public service program. I don't know if you agree with that, but.
Absolutely, yeah.
And therefore, we're now into the realms of, forget personalities, we're into the realms now of how do we fund a public service broadcasting system. And what's left of RTE? I mean, it looks like a shell, to be honest with you, Fionnán, when you take out executives and people who are, you know, the people who are really good reporters, their Dáil correspondents, for example, you know, Micheál Lehane and people like that, they are what public service broadcasting should be. And the 6-1 News and others in the organization have been rigorous in their pursuit of this, with one or two exceptions who may have conflicts of interest. I'll leave that aside for the moment. Where are we going with this now? We don't have solutions, do we? We have maybe people who have done things not as you would wish them to do, but we still don't have a clear sight of the future.
No, and the new Director General, Kevin Backhurst, has come into place just this week. He has been outlining measures, to be fair to him, with how to deal with the immediate crisis. So he stood down the executive team. Certain members left. Certain others have been kind of sidelined. He's appointed an interim executive team, and he says there's going to be a restructuring of the management in the longer term. He says also that you know, he's seeking to restore faith and trust and confidence in RTE. So that would involve being more open and transparent and accountable in terms of their dealings. He's bringing in a register of interests for staff. He says there is an investigation ongoing now to potential breaches of codes of conduct and rules and regulations around social media, the use of the campus and journalism codes by staff and contractors. Through commercial side deals between cars and endorsements and so on. So that's all ongoing. And meanwhile, you know, a forensic auditor is arriving into RTE. The government has got two major investigations going on to it. One into the culture and corporate governance of the organization and another into its finances and structure. There is a reform of the license fee plan sitting on the desk of the media minister, which has now been parked for quite a substantial period of time. So RTE is very much in flux, and we really probably won't get a bigger picture here until potentially next year when those reports come back. There is going to be substantial changes in the management structure and organization. But we're not clear yet what exactly is going to happen on the finances. The government have been quite clear that the country needs a public sector broadcaster. They're probably even more so in the wake of COVID-19 when they saw the necessity to be able to communicate directly with the public and not be reliant upon the internet giants who are based in yes. Grand Canal Dock, who basically don't really have any moral conscience and don't particularly care about whether things are accurate or not on their platform. So there has been very much a kind of a swing back from the government's outlook towards media that you can actually trust, that will verify facts before putting them out there. So that's all going on. And meanwhile, these individual things around will Ryan Tuffy be back on air or not have still to be resolved. So everything is kind of everything is connected, and everything is also a stepping stone towards the next part of the process. I think there will be changes in terms of the management in RTE. Very, very, very major question marks over the yes. board of RTE and how they have handled this whole issue. And that's still to play out as well. Very definitely there'll be changes to how RTE is organized, both from a financial perspective in terms of like, what exactly is your commercial side and what exactly is your public service side? Because it's all jumbled together at the moment. So you may well see sections of RTE being sold off or at least separated out from the main core. So, yeah, I think it could be anything up to 2 years before we actually see what does the future look like for our public service broadcaster.
Now, Fionnuala, the other thing that struck me over the past couple of weeks, but yesterday in particular, I am prone to being very scathing about politicians and backbenchers saying they're no good or we don't get the right caliber. I was struck yesterday, and this may be a contentious thing to say, because there have been criticism of these members of the Public Accounts Committee, Media Committee. I think some of them were absolutely outstanding. Alan Dillon, McAuliffe, their names I wrote down, Imelda Munster, Shinner, and also another Sinn Féin deputy who I thought was John Brady, who was really good. The caliber, I mean, Senator Shane Cassells, Fianna Fáil, they really, given that they only had the documentation fully at 8:30 a.m., they really did ask very penetrating questions. And they did really expose what these two witnesses were and what they were at, if you like. And you know this territory far better than I do, but watching the committee system work in terms of the RTE scandal, some of these people are quite impressive.
Yeah, the one criticism that I have of the committee system is that there's probably not enough teamwork between the individual TDs. That's why you get a repetition of questions.
Yes.
Rather than TD number one taking topic number one, TD number two taking topic number two, and they hone in just specifically on that. You did see people trying to rush through a whole list of questions rather than being forensic on one particular topic. I mean, that's in the nature of politics, that you don't have that level of cooperation, and also people want to get their own soundbite in. But so that's a criticism that you would have. They also had to be very cautious yesterday. Ryan Tubridy and Noel Kelly quite rightly had their legal representatives with them. I don't have any problem with that at all. And I noticed that the head of the Oireachtas Legal Affairs office was also inside in the room monitoring events. So because of the behavior of the Dáil Public Accounts Committee a decade ago with Angela Kearns, where they broke the law, and in case there's any doubt about that, they broke the law. That's what the Supreme Court said.
Yes.
The Oireachtas Committee system has been under pressure to be more respectful to people appearing before them, set out their rights to them and make sure that those issues are adhered to. And ultimately, at the end yesterday, Ryan Tubridy did turn around at the very end and say he felt he was treated with great courtesy and so on. So there would appear to be no complaint then there from the witnesses. You're going to get exceptions. I mean, this is democracy. There were other TDs who were not on your list there who seemed to go off at a tangent and had their own particular agendas at play. But largely speaking, you did have TDs as from the list that you've mentioned there, who did their homework, who came in, who had specific points that they wanted to put across, and they went about that with some diligence. So, you know, I think a good day for the Oireachtas committee system all round. Yeah,
I'm very grateful to you for joining us today, Fionnán. I just want to also congratulate you. And I'll say no more than read the headline on your piece in today's Irish Independent. It's a brilliant piece. It's not long. It just tells you everything you really need to know about this scandal. The headline is, Del Boy and Rodney Act fails as Tubridy burns bridges. It's a very, very good characterization. We don't wish bad luck on anybody, including Del Boy and Rodney, but no, it gives a flavor.
There is one aspect of Ryan Tubridy's testimony that still does have to play out, and this is of the utmost seriousness for the RT board, and that is what he called the seven done truth. He was paid 120 grand between 2017 and 2019, and that somehow this payment was also kept secret. He says quite simply, he was not paid this money. It would appear to be the same figure as a loyalty bonus, which he says he wasn't paid, that he waived. The chief financial officer of RTE, Richard Collins, said last week also that this money was not paid, but some accounting practice went on in the background where it was allocated or credited to a particular balance, and that's where the confusion arose. The question mark here now is, why did the RTE board put this information out there 4 weeks ago without having their homework done? On June 22nd, 2023, they put out this statement that basically said, yeah, we found there was these three payments in 2020 to 2022 that was picked up by a Deloitte in internal audit. It was then investigated by Grant Thornton. So we have all our facts and figures here based upon reports done by two top five accountancy firms, so we know exactly what we're talking about here. And then they basically chucked out, oh, and there was another 120 grand in the 3 years previous to that, and we've just found that through a review that we carried out. We've never seen that review. We don't know who did the review. All we know is it was done over a very short time period, and they've commissioned a subsequent investigation into those payments. But based upon the evidence that we've heard over the last 2 weeks, it would appear that there was no payment there. So there's a very serious questions now have to be put to the RTE board about why they tell the nation that Ryan Tuberty received 120 grand between 2017 and 2019 when they didn't have their facts checked at that point.
Now, one final question that must be lingering over Ryan Tuberty's head is he's promised to pay back the 150,000 he would have got if he doesn't do six more gigs for Renault. And we await that with interest because I'm not sure whether Renault would want him or indeed whether whatever.
I think, Eamon, we should all be putting down our names on every Renault dealership in the country to make sure we get an invite to that one. I mean, this is quite pricelessly funny. So this is 150 grand now that Tuberty is basically saying he got for, and the gigs never happened.
And he'll now give it back.
So we're now being told on this 150 grand that Ryan Tuberty will pay back the money for work not done to an organization that he didn't know was paying him, that he billed for in an unorthodox way via UK company he had never heard of through an invoice with no name and a wrong description sent by his agent's second firm.
Go figure. Okay. Thanks, Fionnuala. That was brilliant. We're very grateful, Fionnuala Sheehan. As I say, is Ireland editor of independent newspapers. He broke this story. He is really an outstanding journalist, quite outstanding. And the importance of journalists and indeed of a public service broadcaster has never been more evident than in this time we are living. And look across the water or look across the Atlantic and you'll know why. Thanks to Fionnuala Sheehan. Thanks to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.